Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Jesse Green here at the control panels, as always, and today we're having a conversation about business lessons. These lessons that I want to share with you today have been learned through a variety of different ways, through experience, but most recently reinforced by a visit to Necker Island, which is Richard Branson's private island. And there I had the opportunity to obviously meet Richard Branson himself, but equally importantly and equally empowering was to spend a couple of days, 5 or 6 days, with 30 global entrepreneurs. It was a really humbling experience, and it was one of those opportunities that you get to really learn from people doing some wonderful things, and I felt really grateful and, as I say, humbled to have the opportunity to do that. So I wanted to pass on some of the wisdom that I've learned from these people, from Sir Richard Branson, but equally just picked up a few things over the years as well from a variety of different sources and kind of synthesize it into something that I hope will be really helpful for you guys to take back to your practices. So the first lesson I wanted to share with you is there is no such thing as a natural business owner. Business owners aren't genetically more gifted. They're not smarter. They're not different in any particular way other than they've taken the time to learn the skills to run a great business. So one of the things that, when we speak to dental practice owners about, 4 levels of practice, that unenjoyable stage, profitable stage, scalable stage, and ultimately a valuable stage, is the people who are at the valuable stage or even at the scalable stage aren't smarter, they're not better looking, they don't have better DNA. There's nothing there that separates them from others other than they've learned some critical skills, applied some resources, and taken action on those things that they've learned along the way. So that's the first key thing I wanted to share with you. So I guess, following on from that is it's really important to educate yourself around business, whether it's, hanging out with people who are doing great things, whether it's reading books, going to courses, blogs and so on. Certainly I would encourage everyone to, expand their knowledge base when it comes to business. We all spend a lot of time, honing our clinical skills, but equally, we all understand that being great clinically, particularly for a business owner, is really not enough in and of itself to guarantee commercial success in a business. It really does require some particular commercial skills and some acumen and the ability to take action on the things you learn. So certainly surround yourself with some people who are doing some great things with that. I wanted to just also share with you that when it comes to business, one of the things I notice, the difference between business and sporting teams is that sporting teams will train much harder. They'll really train under duress. They'll put themselves under really extreme conditions. So they're training harder. They're going to the point of fatigue. They're going almost to the point of exhaustion. So that by the time they get to the playing pitch, the game day, they're actually, much better prepared because game day is easier than training. And so, one of the things around business, of course, is we often step into the game, into the arena without having done practice. And so I'm going to suggest that it's really, really important to practice things, really train hard in your business, not just with yourself as the business owner, but with your team as well. So train under some difficult circumstances so that when the real life scenario presents itself, it's something that the staff have had the opportunity to handle in a safe place, but in a training space and in a place where they've been pushed a little bit harder than they might otherwise be. So practicing is critical, but the extension from that is it's really important to make sure you practice the right things. And the right things are those things that produce the results that you want for your business. And again, preceding that is the question, what is it that I really want from my business? What is it that, I'm optimizing my practice for in terms of, time, whether it's time in the business, working clinically, whether it's, working on the business, thinking about strategic direction, or even time out of the business, holidays and the like. And equally important to understand is what sort of revenue are you trying to optimize your practice for? So as you're thinking about these things, what am I optimizing for? That's going to give you an insight into what it is you should be focusing on, where you should be spending your energy, where you should be spending your time, because time and energy are two finite resources. And as I said earlier, it makes sense to practice the things that make the biggest difference. So that leads me to a conversation around the concept of critical drivers. Critical drivers are activities that deliver results. We all understand the difference between KPIs. We understand that at the end of the month, we get a certain number of metrics come through, whether it's revenue, whether it's the number of new patients. But what are the activities that underpin those results? What are the things that create those results? Because to know the numbers of themselves is really not such a skill. What we really need to be able to understand is to understand how to change the number. And so if we're not getting the results that we want, we need to change the activities that we're focusing our energy on. So again, practice those activities that deliver the results. Practice your energies on the critical drivers. And what we do in our practice is we have a one-page dashboard where we focus on our KPIs, but equally we track our critical drivers. And it forms the basis of what we train day in, day out in our practice. So that's just a key thing there. Equally, I should just point out to you that one of the mentors I have in my life is a guy called Keith, and he always says that the people with the best life have the best choices. And really, to have the best choices, to have more, to do better in life, we all need to be better in life. And ultimately, I guess if you're going to spell growth, it would be L-E-A-R-N, learning, and it's about constantly learning, stepping outside of comfort zones and the like. So there's just a couple of things I learned from various people. I also wanted to share something really critical with you as well, and that as business owners, our sole purpose, or one of our key purposes, at least if not our sole purpose, is to create an environment, a culture that is world-class. And creating a world-class culture takes time and effort. It takes consistency. It takes a specific intent. So it doesn't happen by accident is what I'm trying to say. And one of my friends and colleagues and clients pointed me to a terrific book called Legacy, which is really all about the All Blacks culture. And All Blacks, as you know, are the most successful sporting team in the history of sport. And one of the things that our role as business owners is to create a winning culture for our practice. And whoever has the best culture as a team is going to win more than they ever lose. And you've seen that time and again. The All Blacks, hands down, best sporting team ever. And as an Australian, it hurts to say that, but to all our Kiwi friends, congratulations on that. But as business owners, creating a culture is critical, but then it's also really critical to be able to find A players and immerse them in that world-class culture. And if we were to plot performance and culture on a graph with performance on the vertical axis and culture on the horizontal axis, in that top right-hand box, those people who are really good performers in terms of their skill set and their capacity to work, as well as being a great culture fit, they're the A players. And they're the people you kind of do everything you can to retain in the practice and nurture and keep them in that A quadrant. The people who might be in the lower right-hand side, the people who are a great culture fit, but their performance may not be exactly where it needs to be, those people are what we call B players. And essentially, to move them to the A quadrant, it comes down to training, comes down to skills development, comes down to practice, and again, practicing the right things. So we spend a fair bit of time investing in those people because they're great culture fits, and with a bit of time and effort and development, they can absolutely become A players. On the top left-hand side, of course, we've got the C players, and these are the people who are actually quite good at their job, but they may not be the best culture fit, and this is tricky, and I reckon every single practice owner has experienced either having someone in their practice along those lines, or perhaps even when they're an associate, they might even have been that person where they're really good at what they did, but for one reason or another, the fit wasn't right. And one of the things I've learned over the years is when the fit's not right, it's just not right. And there have been times in my life when I have been that C player when, even though I was trying my hardest to fit in or whatever, it just wasn't the right environment for me. It's not necessarily a matter of fault. It's not necessarily a matter of, wanting to, change things. But if you did want to change things, really that comes down to a coaching conversation. It really comes down to being able to, have that conversation around culture and see why there is an ill-fitting culture for this particular person. And sometimes with some conversations and difficult conversations at that, you can get some movement of the C players across to the A quadrant. In my experience, though, that's the hardest one to move because, as I said, if the fit's not right, it's often just not right. And in the lower left-hand corner, there are the D players who are neither good necessarily at their role or their particular performance, and they're not a good culture fit. And really candidly, and without sounding blunt, those people are, I'm sure, very delightful and kind people, but in everyone's interests, I think it's best to part company with that. So what I'd suggest is a little activity is to draw up that graph, score the axes, maybe 1 to 10 or 1 to 5, whatever it is, and have a look at your team. See where everyone falls on that performance culture matrix, and that'll give you a bit of a clue about how to get the best out of your people, whether they need a little bit of training, whether they need just a bit of support to stay in the A quadrant, or maybe some difficult conversations need to be had with the C players. Hopefully there's not too many D players in there, but that's just a little exercise that you guys can do. So one of the things that we've learned in our practice and certainly working with lots of people is that training is critical.
Actually, I'm running a course for dentists and their teams over the next little while about training. It's called team training,
and we're going to be focusing a lot on the things that really make the practice tick. We're going to be spending a lot of time on language skills, and for anyone who's read the retention book, we're going to be going through a lot of the material on that. We're going to be speaking specifically about some communication skills, internal marketing, how to generate extra patients, how to deal with complaints, what to do when there is a cancellation, how do we handle it, how can we prevent it, how to build value, how to handle price shoppers, all those sorts of things. But equally, we're going to be talking about becoming aligned as a team. We're going to be talking about getting everyone on board, moving in the same direction in unison, so that that way the practice as a whole can really thrive and flourish and ultimately achieve its goals. So certainly we're going to extend an invitation to Savvy Dentist listeners to come along to that. It's an event that we don't normally open up to the public. It's normally one that we run for our coaching community. But on this particular occasion, we're happy to extend that invitation to those that might like to come along with their team. The link for that is going to be called drjessegreen.com/teamtraining, and you can get the details of the event there. So I hope to see you there. So anyway, those have been some lessons from Necker Island and from various mentors, and I hope you've found it enjoyable, hope you found it practical, and as always, take notes, put them into place, and if you found it helpful, please do let me know. I'm really keen to hear. But until next week, take good care, and we'll see you soon. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.